So we're going to be talking about Sarah today and the way that she laughed. Now, she was Abraham's wife, of course, and in Israel and among Oriental peoples and families in that whole area, generally barrenness was a woman's and a family's greatest misfortune. The highest praise from religion and patriotism always blessed the fruitful women because children were necessary for the perpetuation of the tribe and its religions. And it's significant that the mothers of Israel, the Hebrew race, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, were all sterile by nature. Therefore, God's special intervention shows his particular favor to the nation of Israel. Fruitfulness was God's special blessing to his people, and that's found in Exodus 23, Deuteronomy 7, and Psalms 113. A complete family is an emblem of beauty from the Song of Solomon. And metaphorically speaking, when Israel was taken captivity and sent off in exile to Babylon, in her days of adversity, she was called barren. But when the restoration happened, it says that she would rejoice in many children. And that's Isaiah 54 and Galatians. So for Sarah, not having children was a really hard thing to have to live through. But then came the promise. And today we're going to explore some of the verses of Scripture where it talks about Sarah laughing at the announcement of the promise of God for her to have a child. And as I reflected on this part of her story, the Lord gave me this. There was an old woman who loved an old man. The woman was barren, no child for the clan. But God favored Abraham, not childless to stay, and kept the bold promise of that long ago day. What wild dreams and visions did that promise bring to this childless old woman who heard such a thing? Her laughter rang out and could not be contained, the joy and the wonder, then the fear of the pain. And then she remembered the old man had laughed too when told of this gift, the old man and old woman giving birth with such laughter. When the season came round for the child to be born, the angels all joined them, blew trumpet and horn. For this child of the promise foretold of God's Son, whose presence brings laughter and joy to God's own. The child of the promise caused Sarah to laugh with the impossible declared and then brought to pass. Are your dreams then too hard, dismissed by the Lord? No, let the laughter rise up when you hear God's true word. Let the joy of the Lord bubble up from inside. Laugh like the old ones, laugh like a bride. Laugh as did Sarah and Abraham too, for laughter brings healing from God's heart to you. Now, a lot of people will see Sarah's reaction as derisive laughter, like she's saying, yeah, right, what a bunch of hooey. I'm too old. He's too old. We tried to do it ourselves, but look how that blew up in our faces. But I see it from a little different perspective. I see Sarah, after 14 years since the fiasco with Hagar, humbled, a woman who has faced her own jealousy of her maid and the child that she had borne to Abraham, and who was now ready to be filled with joy over God's promise. I see her laughter as bubbling up from faith, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds. She was too old, and so was Abraham. But through all of these years, from when Hagar gave birth, Sarah too had heard the name of that other child, Ishmael. God has heard. She had heard of the original promise of a son from many years ago, and she even tried to force the issue by giving Hagar to old Abraham in the first place. And she knew what God named the child. God has heard. Like Abraham, every time the child was called, she was reminded, God has heard. Now, how many of us have long-held prayers, things hidden deeply inside that we're still harboring? How many of us see others getting that same prayer answered in their lives while we still continue to pray over it? And in some cases, we just wish that God would hear and move. Or in other cases, we agonize over that lack of fulfillment of our dream. And how many of us feel that same stab of jealousy? But what if? What if Sarah had finally won the battle of that jealousy? Had finally accepted her lot as God's daughter, being the most favorable state to live in, even if she never bore a child? Then to be surprised by this angelic visitation and a renewal of that promise. Wouldn't you laugh too? Surprise, you're going to be a mama. Oh, that would cause me to laugh, yeah. And she's older than me. God did hear their continued prayers, their deep longing, their continued faith in the reminder of that name. God has heard. She could have gotten bitter. She could have gotten sour and all dried up. She could have been like Job's wife who said, curse God and die. But she didn't. She kept that other child's name in her mind all the time. God has heard. God has heard. Not only did he hear Hagar's plea, but he named the child Ishmael so that all who heard that name would be constantly reminded, God has heard. No matter where they were, Ishmael was the reminder, God has heard. Now, there are a couple of scriptures that talk about laughter, and one of them is from Proverbs 17:22, and this is from the King James. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now, do you all know the little magazine Reader's Digest? Okay. That publication was started in 1922, and this verse is the foundation of one of their pages called Laughter is the Best Medicine. So people reading those jokes don't even know that they're getting fed a scripture verse as well as a giggle. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, from the Passion Translation, Proverbs 15:15 says this. Everything seems to go wrong when you feel weak and depressed. But when you choose to be cheerful, every day will bring you more and more joy and fullness. And the best translation of Proverbs 17:22 is this from the Passion Translation. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Now, Sarah's laughter came many centuries after these proverbs were, before these proverbs were written. But the truth and wisdom of her act when she heard of her situation from God carried down through the generations. That story was told time after time after time in all the family history stories that were passed on from one generation to the next. Her initial laughter was a natural reaction to a seeming impossibility. But I think her joy at becoming a mother at her advanced age more than outweighed her skepticism. I think she laughed all through that season at the ridiculous idea of such an old woman being with child. I think that would be really funny for her to think, I'm 90 years old and I'm having a baby. Shoo, that would make me laugh all the time. And she was laughing at the promise being fulfilled daily in her body, at the joke that God was telling the whole universe, I am giving them a son through whom all the world will be blessed, through this old woman and this old man, so that everyone will know that it was me. So there. I can just see God doing that. He loves to tell jokes on the devil. She laughed so much that she was totally ready to name the child as God had instructed, Isaac. Laughter. So all the world would know that name too. Laughter, the son of the promise. Now, many years later, Moses had the Lord had Moses tell the people, today I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Therefore, choose life. Joy and laughter is also a choice. So is death and misery. But why would you choose to be miserable all the time? That's a dumb choice. That's really dumb. When you know that God Almighty himself is on your side, sitting in the heavens and laughing at the enemy of our souls, like it says in Psalms 2, verse 4, he that sits in heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. What better way to face life than with that same kind of laughter that God has? So what if your body's not functioning at 100%? Laugh anyway. So what if you're thousands of miles away from home? Laugh anyway. So what if your debts are seemingly insurmountable? Laugh anyway. So what if you're misunderstood? Laugh anyway. So what if your dreams is dashed? Laugh anyway. God is on your side. God has promised a good plan and future and purpose for your life. So laugh anyway. Jesus promised to bring us life and that more abundantly. More abundantly than what? More abundantly than all the problems of earthly life rolled together. That's what. So laugh anyway. If you want that abundant life, then learn to laugh like Sarah did, with joy, with wonder, with complete faith that what God said he would do, he will do. See, God isn't like people. He keeps his word. It may take a while, but that's why we keep on keeping on, staying in faith, laughing at the enemy when he slithers up and whispers, "Nah, not this time." We keep a joy-filled attitude, knowing that God has heard. Laughing at the enemy. We keep a heavenly perspective. We keep a cheerful heart that produces healing. We keep the perspective that shows evidence that we do understand the heart of God and his deep, deep love for us. I loved it the other night when Anne read the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And this one is from the Passion Translation. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's own achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love doesn't traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seeks its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. And that's a perfect description of God's love towards us. So why shouldn't we laugh at all the silly and not so silly stuff that comes to cause us misery? Now, I think the Lord demonstrated that verse 6 beautifully. Love joyfully celebrates honesty. When Sarah laughed when the angel said she would have the baby next year, he was merely acknowledging her laughter, for she was being honest in her laughter. And I especially like that phrase there, which says, love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. That's a two-way thing. God never takes our failures as total defeat, nor should we. God kept Sarah and Abraham around until that defeated aura left them after Ishmael was born outside of the promise. They kept hearing that phrase, God has heard, all through the years after his birth. So I think, me personally, I think that Sarah laughed with wonderment when she heard that proclamation and kept laughing all through her pregnancy, laughing with joy, laughing with the ridiculous picture of a 90-year-old woman carrying a child, laughing that 100-year-old Abraham could actually produce a child, laughing with the secret things that a mother carries in her heart over her children, and most of all, laughing with excitement of knowing that God had answered her prayers. That is the most exciting thing, when you know God has heard and answered your prayers. Now, we don't hear much about Sarah after that, except in Hebrews 11, and that's the Hebrews chapter, where it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, let's go back to that original verse, Proverbs 17:22. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. I think that her laughter produced such a healing in her body that she was able to carry that baby and give it life. I think that's why that it was, she was able to do that. Now you've all seen me and others here get all giggly and sometimes uproarious in fits of laughter when God is on the scene. That's my medicine. That's my dose of Holy Ghost joy. That's my response to the joke that God is telling on my enemy, that lion sneaking devil. We win, people. We win. Now, we have access to that joy, 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 joy down in our heart. Joy unexplainable and full of glory, full of healing, full of hearing joy bells ring out from heaven. Now, several weeks ago, one of our groups started practicing laughter, intentional laughter. And then some more. And then one more time until we got the real thing. Do you remember, Barbara? Laughing with a purpose. Laughing because it felt good. Laughing for our healing. Laughing in praise because God is good. Isn't he good? And isn't he worth laughing with? All right, praise the Lord. Now, I've told this story to several people, but the last time I preached at the start of the month, my sister was still here. And we were on our way to church, and I was all up inside my head, you know, thinking about my message and praying in the spirit and being all serious like and holy, you know. And sis was sitting next to me, and she was rambling on about and on and on and on about people I don't know anything about. And then talking about whether or not folks here took their Christmas decorations down on Epiphany. And did I know the names of the three wise men who showed up on Epiphany? And then she says, did you know that St. Nicholas was the patron saint of pawn shops? I'm going, I totally lost it. I looked over and I said, now why'd you have to drop that into my brain just now? I'm trying to think of my message. It was so totally ridiculous and so totally distracted me. And we started giggling. We laughed all the rest of the way to church. And when we got here, I was much lighter in spirit. I was refreshed and ready for God to move. Sometimes we get to thinking that if we laugh, we're somehow being disrespectful, that we must be serious about God all the time. There are times when that is totally appropriate, but there are other times when the joy of the Lord bubbles up from within and we can't contain it. And after all, it is in recorded, like Florence said this morning in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want more strength, then get joyful. If you want healing, then laugh. If you want victory, then hold the enemy in derision like God does. Let's not go around doing life acting like we got baptized in sour pickle juice. So when you think of Sarah and her laughing in the face of the news of her having a child, don't think that it was because she was doubting God. One of the verses in that story does say she tried to deny her laughter, and the messenger said, but you did laugh. He didn't scold her. He didn't strike her dumb. He didn't take away the promise. He merely acknowledged the fact of her laughter and saw that she got the joke. And I can imagine that he was smiling with her with a twinkle in his eye, knowing that God could and would do this amazing thing. So be encouraged, dear ones. What may look impossible when faced with a joyful, cheerful heart and laughter at the enemy's attempt to trip us up will be his ultimate defeat. God is laughing at his silly plans, and so we can too. Be like Sarah and laugh. Be like God and laugh. Laugh until your sides hurt. Laugh until you cry. Laugh until you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the victory is absolutely, positively, definitely, irrevocably yours.